Metallica, headlining the Welcome to Rockville Music Festival. Two different nights, two different sets. Go to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for all information. Get your tickets on sale right now.
All right, we are back. Mike Triplett's going to join us now, ESPN NFL Nation reporter. We're going to have a little fun with him. They've got a big news, as Drew Brees has said, he is coming back for the 2020 season. So the Who Dat Nation is happy. You could follow Mike on Twitter at Mike Triplett and catch his work there at ESPN. Mikey, good afternoon, my man. How you doing?
How you doing? Thank you for your patience waiting for me today.
Oh, please, dude, you're a stud, bro. You're always great with me. We will wait as long as it takes. I get it, man. You got to get your job done. And hey, by the way, I was going to start this interview with, dude, your head is on a swivel. You don't know if Brees is coming back. Taysom Hill wants to be a starter. Teddy Bridgewater. What the hell's going on there? But finally, we got one domino to fall in Drew Brees. So, Mikey, what happens to the other two guys? Because I can't see both of them coming back, right? If both of them really want to be quarterbacks.
Even Sean Payton said he thinks it's unrealistic to keep all three. And, unfortunately, I think that makes Teddy Bridgewater the odd man out because he's the unrestricted free agent. Taysom Hill's a restricted free agent, and that's a huge dollar difference in what they would have to pay those guys. Maybe if they cost the exact same, you could have a long debate about which one to keep. But Bridgewater's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Last year, the Dolphins were the only other team to offer him a starting job, so the Saints kept him at $7.25 million as a backup, which was nice. I don't think they'll have that luxury this time around. I don't know exactly how much he'll make on the open market. I don't think we're going to see him go above 20 and get into the $30 million range, but he proved himself by going 5-0 as a starter, and I think there's more teams looking this year than there were last year. There's a lot of dominoes that are about to fall at the quarterback position. And a couple of teams are probably going to be looking at paying starter money to Teddy Bridgewater. So I think he's going to be the one that the Saints are going to have to let go.
All right. So, Mikey, when I look at Teddy Bridgewater and he's from here, he's a phenomenal young man. He is one of the best human beings you're going to deal with. I get it. But I've never really looked at him as a difference maker as a quarterback. In Minnesota, he was just a guy, and he had the brutal injury, and I know that he's so likable and all of that, and he had a nice run with the Saints, but I almost felt it was more a product of the talent around him, the coaching, making the right calls to set him up, all of that. But I just think that if you're going to go after Teddy and you think he's a franchise guy, I think you're going to be severely disappointed. I still think he's, you know, a game manager on his best day. You were around him. What do you think? What's your opinion on him?
No, it's absolutely fair to say that. It takes the right team that's looking for that. Like, personally, as I survey the landscape, I think the Chicago Bears are, like, the type of team that should be all over Teddy Bridgewater. Or the New England Patriots, if they really do move on from Tom Brady. A team that's built to win and almost doesn't want their quarterback to screw it up. I mean, similar to what we saw with Ryan Tannehill and Tennessee Titans. I think you could make a case that he might even be better than Ryan Tannehill in a similar situation. But you're right that, look, for the Saints this year, when he went 5-0, he averaged 240 yards a game. He threw 9 touchdowns over 5 games with just 2 turnovers. When he took the Vikings to the playoffs back in 2015, he averaged like 205 yards a game. Only had 14 touchdown passes all season, but they went 11-5 and had a run game and had a defense. He's great for the locker room, yeah. Great leader, great teammate, mm-hmm. Great decision maker, not going to kill you with turnovers, and he's going to make a few big plays. He's got the poise and everything like that. So I think he's the right guy for the right team, but he's not necessarily, you know, your game changer who's going to change the makeup of your team. He's got to be. If your quarterback is holding you back, he's the guy you want. I don't hate the idea of Miami now, if they want to use all their draft picks on other positions and build a loaded roster around him. But I don't think he wants to go somewhere where the team is also going to draft a QB of the future. I don't think he wants to be packaged with Tua somewhere I think he wants a legitimate chance to be a starter somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure. Teddy doesn't want to be a Bridgewater. Okay, I get you. All right, so then here's the other one that I'm so intrigued. Dude, Taysom Hill's thrown the ball a couple times, and all of a sudden we're going to look at this guy like a future quarterback. What the hell is Sean Payton thinking? Are they really thinking that inside that office that he is a legitimate starting franchise quarterback once Breeze steps down? Do they really believe that?
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit of yes and no. I think some of those reports have gotten a little unwieldy this offseason. They were never going to choose Taysom Hill over Breeze. No. They weren't going to say, hey, Breeze, here's your golden parachute. Get out of here. We're going with Taysom. And if Breeze did, don't think they would have chosen Hill over Bridgewater in this scenario. We need a starter right away in 2020. I think they'd have kept Bridgewater under that scenario. But I do think that they think he could be the next starting quarterback when Breeze retires, rather than immediately having to go out and sign another guy. They'll always look at a guy in the draft. That's always going to happen for them. They know how important the position is. But yeah, if you're with, you know, who's out there, Marcus Mariota or Josh McCown or Ryan Fitzpatrick, or let's go with Taysom Hill, I think Sean Payton's very excited about the idea of designing a full-time offense around Hill. I'm not going to make the Lamar Jackson comparison, but I will make the Josh Allen one in Buffalo. I think Sean Payton designing an offense around Taysom Hill could look like the Bills designing one around Josh Allen, or even better. I mean, Josh Allen was no more proven than Taysom Hill was. So I would at least be very excited to watch it. But it would be such a risky long-term play because of his lack of experience, as you pointed to, and because of the injury factor. He got injured, you know, 4 season-ending injuries in 5 years in college, and I've never seen him avoid a tackle yet. He runs the ball like he's a linebacker out there, which is fun to watch, but not smart for longevity.
And I got to tell you, you lose the Swiss Army knife too if you put him at quarterback,
right?
Because
that's true. That's
man,
true.
This
now
guy,
your offense becomes a little unpredictable if he's running and throwing. But yeah, you probably won't catch 7 touchdowns like he did this last year.
Or he's not going to block a punt, or right? Didn't he block a punt this year also, or something like that?
Oh yeah, he's blocked. He's blocked punts. He's converted fake punts. He's returned kickoffs. I mean, they clearly love the guy. And there's no limit to what they think he could do to help them on the football field. And that's why you go to, well, why are we only doing it for 12 snaps a game? How good could he look if he was touching the ball 50 snaps a game? But you're right. There is a point of diminishing returns, I'm sure, somewhere in there.
Yeah, no doubt. Mike Triplett, of course, ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Saints, joining us. All right, before I let you go, so I would imagine that overall now there is calm along the Houdat Nation that Breeze is back in the fold for one more season, right? I mean, this is probably, Mikey, this is officially going to be his last year, correct?
Oh, I don't know that. I mean, he's said just like Brady that he thinks he can keep doing it till he's 45 if he wanted to, although he is allowed for the fact that it takes a lot to get geared up. That's why he took a month to make this decision. But the thing about Breeze is we've seen quarterbacks drop off the map before. We've seen Brett Favre, you know, lose it. We definitely saw Peyton Manning because of injury. What we've seen with Breeze, though, is he makes up for every physical tool he loses with intelligence and efficiency. His last 2 years at age 39 and 40, the two best passer ratings of his career. The last 3 years, the 3 highest completion percentages in NFL history, and his 3 lowest interception totals. So he just makes up for what he lacks with efficiency and smarts. Just this last December, 15 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions. I mean, he is a guy you trust on the field. As long as he wants to keep doing it, there's no, oh man, this guy's got to hang it up. He's not hurting his legacy. He's not hurting his legacy.
No, definitely not. I mean, he's just enhancing his legacy because he just continues to play at an incredible level at this age, and the efficiency is crazy. What are you working on ESPN so Saints fans can follow up? What's the follow-up story now coming up, Mikey?
Yeah, a written version of all the questions you just asked, just a rundown of what comes next for the Saints, obviously, in addition to the story, and a lot of people wanting to know about Taysom and Teddy, and Are the Saints still poised to be a top contender in the NFC? I think they are for now, but one price of success factor that they have coming up is that incredible 2016 and 2017 draft classes they had are about to start costing a lot of money. So they're definitely in the window to try to win now while they can still keep this thing together.
Follow him on Twitter at Mike Triplett and catch his work there at ESPN. He is Mike Triplett, ESPN NFL Nation reporter. Mikey, as always, you are a stud, my brother. Thank you for taking some time.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. There you go. He gets to cover three guys that can throw the ball. We have none. That's just unfair. No, Fitz did a good job. I should not say that. Fitz was good. Got to give him a little love. Got it? You got to admit when you're wrong. And I was wrong about him. That was really good by Mike, and that was really good by Chris Trapasso there. Now we're going to be joined by Matt Verderam from Fansided and Stacking the Box podcast. We're going to switch gears and talk just NFL in general. So we went draft, we went Saints, and now we're going to go NFL in general because we've got a bunch of things going on in the NFL. So Matt Verderam does an excellent job of covering the NFL for Fansided. Writes a lot of really good columns. I really enjoy his work there at Fansided. You should check him out. You can also follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam and check out the work there. So we'll have a little fun with Matt as Bill gets in contact with him, and we'll bring him aboard here and talk. Man, there's so many issues we can talk about. Football-wise, I definitely want to get into a little bit of the Tom Brady situation now that's kind of developing, that he wants the tour to come to him instead, which, you know, at first I found it was kind of weird, but then I'm thinking about it, I'm going, you know, this kind of makes sense now. So we'll talk to Matt about that. Follow Matt Verderam on Twitter at Matt Verderam, like I and so many others do. We follow Matt. You can catch his work at Fansided, and also check out the Stacking the Box podcast. Let's bring him aboard. Matt, good afternoon, my friend. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
It's always good to have you on, my brother. I saw this story about Tom Brady where he's going to maybe bypass the tour and have teams come to him. And, you know, I thought about that at first. I said it was weird. But then I thought about it, and this is a way you can keep everything under the radar. Brady can meet with people in secret locations, but if he walks into everybody's facilities, man, it's going to be a crazy media thing covering the whole event. They'll be tracking him from the airport, all that good stuff. So what do you think about this tour or no tour for Brady, and how many teams are going to visit him, Matt?
Well, it's smart. I think, look, first of all, if you're Brady, why not see how much somebody really loves you, right? How far will they go? What will they do? When will they be there? I think, ultimately, assuming he gets the free agency here and he doesn't agree in the next month to the Pats, there's going to be quite a few teams who are looking for his services. The Chargers are going to be among them. The Raiders will be among them. I think the Titans quietly will be interested. Will Tampa Bay be interested? And you know, they obviously have some great weapons there, so you'd imagine Brady would at least take a meeting. I would suspect at least a half dozen teams would seriously be interested in him. Now, how many are he interested in? Well, again, it probably depends on, you know, what their competitive level is, what the situation is with the weapons around him. But you know, if you're a Patriots fan, it's a worrisome time, because if Brady gets through the market, then you get into a situation where he might fall in love with a team's presentation. They might pay him more than the Pats are willing to pay him. Makes things interesting.
I tell you, that to me is – now, do you expect him to stay? Because I still think he'll stay in Patriot land when it's all said and done. Is that what you think is going to happen?
I think that's smart money, is that he stays. But, you know, I wrote about this in my Sack the Box column on the Fansided. I think Brady is enjoying the idea of having the upper hand on Belichick for a little while here, right? Like, for once, Belichick's the one who has to squirm a little bit. And obviously, he would never do it publicly, but, you know, look, Brady's been under his thumb for 20 years. Well, now it's the other way around, and I'm sure Brady loves that. The question to me becomes, the Pats have enough cap space to sign Brady at $30 million a year, if that's what it takes, and then add maybe a free agent or two, whether it's their own free agents or they go out and get some other guys. But that's about it. And I wonder with New England, is there going to at some point be a conversation with Don Yee, Brady's agent, where the Pats say, look, we need to know. We're not going to sit here and get into a bidding war. This isn't going to drag out into the end of March for us. You need to tell us by March 5th, what is he doing? Is he coming back here? We can iron out a deal, or is he not? Because if he's not, then we're going to go spend money on the quarterback to replace him, and we're going to bring back a bunch of our own free agents, guys like Kyle Van Noy and Devin McCourty and Matthew Slater and so on and so forth, Jamie Collins. I think he ultimately goes back there. They find a way to get it done. But if the longer this thing goes on, the closer they get to free agency, especially if they actually get into free agency, then I think that the chances of him leaving start to become real.
I still think he'll stay, but yeah, it'll be this whole cat and mouse thing, this whole chicken. This is going to be interesting, and I want to see what Brady wants out of all of this, and that's what we're going to see if Belichick does things that are out of the norm because the owner is kind of forcing the hand and saying, "Hey, we got to accommodate this guy. This is our franchise player." I think this is fascinating to watch this whole thing now. Let's move over to Carolina. Matt Verderam, by the way, from FanSided joining us. We have yet to hear Rule or the owner say, Cam Newton is our guy. It's if this, if that. Does Cam Newton end up playing in a Panthers uniform in 2020?
I don't think so. And somewhat of a gut feeling, but I think, whenever you have a situation where a guy's coming off injury, and a couple of injuries in this case, he's on the wrong side of 30. He won the MVP in 2015. Hasn't been the same since. You just wonder if Rule's looking at this going, I got a 7-year deal. I don't have to win right away. I can take my time. I can rebuild this. And I could see a scenario where they say, look, we're going to save $19 million. We're going to let Cam go. We're either going to basically tank this season, try to get Trevor Lawrence, or we'll bring in Philip Rivers for a year. He went to NC State right down the road, so he's got a familiarity there. He'll be the store next guy. Maybe they draft that guy this year, maybe next year. But I think ultimately for the Panthers, when Tepper came out and said, hey, I really got to see Cam be healthy for me to be behind him 100%, that how is Cam Newton going to prove that he's healthy in time before they cut him? So I think it's possible he's back, but if I was a betting man, I would say no, he will be elsewhere in 2020.
All right, so Joe Burrow, and I've talked about this for the last month and a half, and I'm of this group here, Matt, that even if you wanted to pull an Eli Manning or a John Elway, it's the wrong owner, okay? Because Mike Brown doesn't care about winning. He'll leave your ass out there holding out, and he'll say, that's fine, you don't want to sign with us, you're not going anywhere, you're not going to force me to a trade. Because it'll be more about principle for his old ass than anything else. So I think Joe Burrow's kind of screwed when it's all said and done. But you hear the comments, and none of them really say, I can't wait to be a Bengal. Like most guys that want to be taken number one, they usually, whoever that team is, oh, I can't wait to be a Steeler. I can't wait to be whatever. We haven't heard that from the Joe Burrow camp. They say all the right things and all that stuff, but they really haven't made that commitment on their end. How does this whole thing end? Do you see it the same way I do when it comes to Mike Brown?
Oh, he's going to Cincinnati. I don't see any way. Look, I know, look, it's draft season. People love to have these rumors that come out a lot. So, maybe they'll take more. Maybe they'll take this. They're taking Joe Burrow. Okay? Unless something ridiculous comes out, about his medicals or some thing.
Right.
He's going to Cincinnati. He is an Ohio kid. He is clearly the best prospect at the quarterback position in the draft. Okay, he just came off a historic season in the SEC where they won the National College Championship. I don't see any scenario, barring what I just said, where Burrow doesn't go there. If you're the Bengals, you have to take Joe Burrow.
Yes.
And if he doesn't work out, then you know what? You can look back in 5 years and say, hey, everybody would have taken him in our position.
Yes.
But if you don't take him, and he becomes what everyone thinks he's going to be for the Dolphins, then everybody's got to get fired. So, no, I think Burrow's a slam dunk there, barring the bizarre happening over the next few months.
Right, but you agree with me that if Burrow tries to pull an Eli Manning, that will not work with that specific owner. Out of all 32, that's the wrong guy. You might be able to force a trade everywhere else, but that one guy, you won't be able to. I'm telling you, he won't do it. Right?
No, I agree. With Mike Brown, I mean, people with long enough memories will remember the Carson Palmer episode.
Right.
Where that went on forever. And you know, I don't think Burrow's going to pull that game anyway. I agree he's been somewhat lukewarm with this, and for good reason. I know he made the comment about, hey, I just want to see a team that, you know, wants to win, and obviously the Bengals are not that team. But no, I think he's gonna go there, and if he does try to make a power play, I agree. I think the Bengals should take him at one anyway. That's nice. We'll see you when you're ready to report.
Here's what I've said, my brother. It's an 8-year plan for him. He's a first-round pick, so he's got to play out his 5-year contract. Then they'll tag him 3 straight times, and then he can hit free agency unrestricted. So in his 9th year, if he can hold up and play at a high level, he can be an outright free agent in his 9th year, Matt. There's light at the end of the tunnel, baby.
Yeah, the old decade plan. I think if you're Burrow, if you go there, you hope that you have a good relationship with Zach Taylor. You get off on the right foot, and then, you know, maybe the team can draft, because we know they don't sign free agents. They never sign free agents.
No.
And I think at that point, like, if the dream scenario for Burrow, assuming, you know, he's in Cincinnati, if things go well with Taylor, they have a good rapport, and he plays exceptionally well, he's a Pro Bowl-type player, and at some point he gets enough power in the organization where he goes, you need to do something, or I'm going to make this – You need to help me win, because I'm not Andy Dalton. Like, I'm one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL, and I will make this an absolute sideshow if you don't go out and get me some help. And then you see what happens. I mean, Mike Brown also, at what point does he turn power over to his daughter, who is well regarded in the league?
Yeah.
That's another question. So, you know, look, with Burrow, I think all those things have to be factored in.
No doubt. All right, before I let you go, Matt Verderam, by the way, does an excellent job covering the league for FanSided. Check him out. Follow him on Twitter like I and so many others do at Matt Verderam. And check out the podcast, Stacking the Box. So the Tua thing, where does Tua land, do you think? And where does Herbert land? Because there's so much talk, and obviously this show originates in Miami, which we've been desperate for a quarterback since number 13, as you know, Matt. What do you think happens with those two guys?
Well, talking to one person in the league with some knowledge of the situation with Tua, look, the thought has been, as long as he checks out medically, and to this point, his medicals have been going well. As long as he checks out medically, people think he'll go top 5 with ease. I believe he will end up in Miami. I think Dolphins, even if, let's say everything goes well for him medically. Let's say everything sucks out. We get to April 23rd, 24th. Burrow goes 1. I think even if the Dolphins had to trade up just to secure the quarterback, and they called Washington or they called Detroit, said, look, we don't care. We'll give you 5. We'll give you one of our other first-round picks and maybe like a 4th-round pick. And we're going to get up there and we're going to take Tua. I think they will take him. If they, you know, feel confident in his medicals. And then Herbert, I think, if that falls that way, I think he's going to the Chargers. Unless the Chargers get beat. I just think, look, if you're the Chargers, you've got to sell tickets. You're moving into a new stadium. They have crickets right now in the stands. If that team, they are desperate for some juice. And well, Herbert is certainly not Tom Brady.
He's a Pac-12 kid. He's a Pac-12 kid too, right? That helps in that part of the country, I would imagine.
Yeah, and he's a Pac-12 kid. I mean, that you need some sizzle. You need some juice. And so I think if you're the Chargers and Herbert's there, I think you're taking him. But I think Miami, if the medicals are good, I think Tua ends up playing on South Beach.
All right, Matt, tell them about the Stacking the Box podcast, baby, that why it's a must listen.
Well, it's a must listen because you have Jeff Schwartz on the podcast. He's on every week with us. He's one of the analysts. He's obviously 8-year NFL veteran. His brother just won the Super Bowl with the Chiefs.
One of the best follows on Twitter. Also, he's really good.
He's fantastic.
Jeff, yes,
he's super insightful. I'm on the podcast as well every week. Talking all things across the league with Jeff, breaking some news. About free agency and the draft as well. And then our host, the esteemed Mark Carmen. So, listen, if you love football, we try to touch on every team every week. Check it out. Subscribe. It's on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, the whole nine yards.
Matt, as always, studly work by you, my brother. Thank you for taking some time. We always appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You got it, baby. There you go. Matt Verderam, man, from Fansided and Stacking the Box podcast. Five guests? Is that enough? Is that enough?
No, I don't think so, man.
Do we work hard enough on this show for you guys? Do we? Like 9 interviews in the last 2 days? All kinds of variety of sports talk. Baseball, XFL, NFL, NFL draft, NBA, All-Star, hockey, soccer, you name it. I mean, do we leave anything? Are we not the most complete damn sports show there is out there?
Do you know something? I wrote this down last night watching the Panthers. Obviously, we were on by the time I got home and did and put up the YouTube stuff and the promo. It was 9, 10 o'clock I get into the game. And there was a couple things they said, man, that kind of really I had to shake my head, okay?
Who's they, by the way? Who are we talking about?
The announcers for the Panthers.
Oh, okay,
you know,
all right.
Just some numbers. Just really crazy stuff.
Okay.
We have 26 wins in regulation. It's 4th. In the Eastern Conference.
Right.
3 more than Toronto, and that is the first tiebreaker.
Okay.
We have the highest winning percentage leading going into the third period.
Yes.
Which,
yes. Yeah, but again, but
really?
But stats don't mean anything. I keep telling people that because we can spin them however we want.
No,
yes. Look at the team.
It's just, it's crazy.
Look at the team overall.
It's crazy, but this is one that, like, the bottom's falling out. Prior to the All-Star break, January 25th, we led the league 3.67.
Yeah.
Dude, post?
I know.
Two. We are 29th since January 25th.
Well, Bob's allowed more goals than any other goalie in the NHL.
Yeah, but to be scoring two.
You're paying this guy to allow the most goals in the NHL.
Yeah. I mean, on top of the fact that your offense that was – the highest is now 29th.
Yeah, and now they can't score, which is like the weirdest thing.
And this is since January 25th, so we've got almost a month of this, man.
Okay, so
almost.
Here's the question I ask for you. As the game gets more physical, as we get closer to the playoffs, is that what's affecting the Panthers? Is that why they're not scoring as much now? Because they can't play their finesse game?
Pretty much.
Because that's the most frustrating thing about the Panthers is that they're so finesse, bro. I mean, there is
the Edmonton game. The Edmonton game was basically manhandled.
Yeah,
and
but
dominated.
They're always manhandled. But they're always manhandled, and our guys are always taking all the shots. Always, Vinny Trocheck has been a piñata for years, and we do nothing about
In the Edmonton game, we did have 2 fights.
Can't Paul Laws produce 4 kids and give them to us? Paul, where the hell are you, Paul? Cough up 4 defensemen, bro. Let's go.
Yeah, it would be nice to
No, that's what you need.
We need a few Pauls.
We don't have a couple of guys that just will kick your ass. Dude, you went too close to Barkov. I'm kicking your ass. Not crush him against the wall. No. You nipped him, and I'm hitting your ass.
The thing that's frustrating.
I hate it, man.
It's the same.
Panther team drives me crazy.
It's the same mistakes.
Yes.
Letting guys camp out in front
same
of
thing.
The net.
Yep.
Bad passes, that pass turning into a goal in
always.
The back of our net.
Always.
And here, mentally, how do you have too many guys on the ice 2 times in 3 games? You guys are right there. It isn't like, you're coming off and he's over there. They're right in front of you, man.
And
how
your
can
seasons,
you guys can't count 5?
Not only that, your season's falling apart. Do something about it, bro. Stop making mistakes. Because that's what I'm talking about. Those things like that, it's like you're watching what's going on. You can't score. Come on, man. Let's go.
Do something to change it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people getting paid on that team.
Well, we're 6-8, 24th.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to do something, man?
No, I don't.
You think they're going to stay pat?
I think if they should do anything, they should get rid of people.
Start unloading and picking up.
Yeah, I don't think this team is going anywhere. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me.
So don't try to add to build this and make this go somewhere.
Right.
Like, get what you can to make it better for next year.
I think you have to sit down and have, like, an incredibly brutal conversation with Dale Tallon and say, hey, Dale, man, it's 10 years. It's 10 years. We've given you everything, bro, and you can't produce much. And that's the part that, to me, doesn't fly.
Oh, no. Sorry.
So like whether you make it this year or you don't, you're going to get eliminated right away in the first round. So if you made it two times in 10 years or three times if you make it this year in 10 years and you're out in the first round, that means nothing to me. And please don't tell me or anybody think that because you made it this year, that's something to build on. I've heard that story already, too. And there's nothing...
If we make it in the playoffs, so do you think we even win a game, man?
No, I've already talked about
that. Not even
a
game.
I've already talked about that.
In and out, zero.
This season is over for the Panthers. In my eyes, this season is already over. I don't care what games are left, and I don't care if they sneak into the playoffs. This is not a team that has the kind of heart and character and toughness that is going to gut themselves through a playoff season in hockey. I'm sorry, dude. I've watched it long enough, and I'm not a hockey expert.
The writing's on the wall.
But I know what a really good hockey team looks like, and the Panthers are far from that.
You are what you are.
Yeah, you are what you are. And they're super inconsistent, and they can't be counted on. But anyway.
Well, that really sucks for the owners, man, because it isn't from a lack of them trying, man.
Not at all. Not at all. So over 4 hours today, five interviews, Tom DeAngelo, Mike Triplett, Manny Navarro, Matt Verderam, and Chris Trapasso. Plenty of other talk all throughout.
Wait a minute. We got one more guest. No.
I got to rest the voice now. I'm going to take a chill pill now. But we thank all of you, as always, for tuning in and supporting us. Don't forget to give us the thumbs up whenever you're watching the broadcast. Share the link from YouTube, all of that. Thank you for downloading the show whenever you do download it. Reach out to us if I piss you off, if I make you laugh, if I make you think, if you want to give me a criticism, a comment, an insult, whatever it is you want to do, it's all love. It's all love. And do it on the accidentlawfirm.com text line. That's where we like to feel the love. 786-322-1105. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place, same bat channel.
Till tomorrow. See ya.
This is the Big O Show.